frequency.
Heading up to Clinton to check the camera traps, see if any more two-legged creatures came up. They haven't been by for the past couple of weeks, the past 2 months or so, and they probably figured out by now they're being watched. But other than that, you know, there's nothing really going on.
And we're just going to get the stuff I talked to you about, get it taken care of, get it over with.
Well, both our lives have turned into a nightmare recently, it seems.
Sucks. Oh, man, I'm telling you, what a pain in the neck.
But don't worry too much about it. You know, as I said, for reasons I mentioned earlier, I have a very limited amount of time during the week to do anything.
I can't do anything without what I need to do. I got to fight this thing all the way through, and I got so much customer crap going. I got to finish up. I'm only selling two machines to get through things, but still, it just turned into a bloody freaking nightmare.
I know. Let me see how long, much further I could go without losing the signal. I haven't heard you on the air. I just haven't really been listening. I was going to call you the other day.
You know, things have been crazy. It's sad because I got so many things that turn into, they could be fixed easily, but I just can't seem to get everybody to work together to fix it.
All my time is going to be tied up for the foreseeable future, so, you know, I couldn't help you with anything, even if I could anyway. And as for what I'm going to do, I'm just going to, it's going to take time.
You know, I'm going to have to see a psychiatrist, probably go to rehab, go through crap, go through a crappy competency hearing, all the rest of it. And I'm trying to get the social workers to do their job. It's just like, getting people to do their darn job is just ridiculous.
No, nobody wants to do their job. That's actually what I'm counting on. The fact that we've got a bunch of lazy people here sometimes works out well.
My problem is I got things, at least I only sell them two machines. I started working on some of the stuff to finish, and like I said, it's just, they're running more power in here than they used to.
Man, you're dropping out under the squelch, so I've lost your signal pretty much. Maybe if I get out at this exit here, I can pick it up again.
If you scratch you, I can hear you all the way out.
Well, that works. This antenna gets a little loose occasionally, too, because it went under a tree and got whacked one time. And it's not exactly square within the hole.
The other thing is Kenwood, you got to adjust the squelch on those Kenwoods is a real pain.
Squelch that high? I mean, if you get squelch out, it's because you're generally bad.
It's got the preamp on you, and the repeater right now is 60 over 9 to me.
Better part of town. That section, that corridor near I-26 and whatever it is, that's usually a problem.
Q5 all the way.
You got off the expressway. Let me pull in a Dollar General over here. I might have to anyway because I need more batteries for those cameras.
Stick some cameras out here one of these days and solve that problem here. I got some issues here, but we'll worry about that later. But no, that's true. Like I said, you know, it's been absolutely crazy lately.
This is Dollar General on Highway 56 and whatever the hell. You can hear me now?
Robert, I copied you all the way. I think if you're on title, I'm a mess. I've heard it so far all the way.
Just let me check.
Well, you were in a real mess before. I couldn't go see. They're on, they still got antennas if you're in this repeater, but they're going to go on lower antenna. They're running, the repeater's running 160 watts now instead of 30.
I noticed they changed the end of transmission tone and they got the voice ID thing in addition to the Morse code ID. I didn't know they had upped the power.
KI4LZI Mobile. Right now, they're back on the old repeater controller right now.
It ain't tone, though.
If you'll listen to the courtesy tones on and the ID on it, right now, this is the old repeater controller that they're on at the moment.
Still, the tone sounds a little different. I know the repeater sounds pretty strong, though. Usually, I guess they must be still having the same problem that they have, but the signal seems to be pretty good.
I am to the repeater, I couldn't say because I'm under it all the time anyway, but you sounded good the other day on WORD.
Yeah, huh?
Listening to you two, go ahead and carry on. KI4LZI Mobile.
Pretty good, too, man. Well, like I said, too, I knew they were more power. Maybe they're back on the old. I didn't hear the voice ID this time, so I waited for it. I haven't heard it, so maybe they're running 30 watts again. But I know they must not have fixed that antenna connection yet, which they still need to fix.
On that momentarily, but you can tell if you listen close between the old controller and the one that was on, you can tell the difference. KI4LZI Mobile. Go ahead, Glenn.
His tone is still different, though. Yeah, it could very well be the old controller board. I don't know. They need to deal with the antenna more than, specifically the antenna feed line, or actually maybe the antenna. They need to deal with that more than they need to, up the power. That's probably the bigger problem.
Don't seem to understand that. You can hear it. I've heard it many times. I've said it many times.
Who told me the other flamethrower around here, the Mount Mitchell repeater, that's only running something like 10 watts, or, 10 or 20 watts, and that's got like a 100-mile radius on both sides of the mountain.
Not a lot, but they've also got a better location, too, at 6,600 feet, I think.
They got twice the altitude. That's a big factor.
At the 159 repeater, which I can sometimes hit. Now, 146.76 is a hard machine to hit. I can sometimes hit it, sometimes I can't.
Have that one programmed in here or not? Because the display shows me the call letters, it doesn't necessarily show me the frequency. I might have put it in here a while back.
I can't seem to hit. For some reason, I can't seem to find it. I can't seem to hit it. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. Well, my antenna is still in the building. It needs to be outside on a tower, which would help immensely.
Using that that aluminum, that funny J-pole, is that the one you're using on 2 meters?
440 as well. There is an issue, but I don't know. I fixed it somewhat, but I gotta find a good way. It's sitting on top of one of my racks right now, my transmitter racks.
I guess that's a J-pole, sort of. I mean, it's got that extra little stubby thing for 440. I think I was using that for a while. I gave it back to you, and I still have that other one, the one that the other J-pole you have.
The one Gary built works very well.
I still have. have, the one that breaks apart into sections so you can throw it in a you know, in a shopping bag. I mean, I don't know if you ever wanted that one back or not.
Put it on someday. I just haven't had a chance to build another one.
The paypal I have is the one that I made, that we made. You know, the one that looks like Guido the alcoholic plumber soldered it. But it does work. That's the one that's sitting in the bedroom. You know, obviously it doesn't fold up, though. The one that Gary made is nice. You know, if you ever needed it, I still have it. Right now it's sitting in a shopping bag along with that little tiny dual-bander radio.
You know what I got to do? I got to find a place with 60-40 solder. Next time I do it, I'm just going to use 60-40 radio solder and not mess around with it.
That's what I did with the one I built. How did I solder that one? I mean, not very well, obviously, but, you know, it doesn't have to hold water. It just has to hold the pipes together. Didn't we use radio solder on that?
We used plumbing solder with flux.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Not the thing to use. Plumbing solder needs more heat. It's messy to try to control. There's actually copper glue, believe it or not. You can glue copper together. The problem is, I don't think the glue is conductive.
Unless you slew it all the way together and made the copper made the connection, I don't know. It might be an issue. I don't know. I don't know if the glue is conductive or not.
On Amazon. Did I ever buy any and order it from Amazon? I don't know if I did or not. I was under the impression I had it. Or maybe I don't have it. Maybe I just seen it. But supposedly you can glue copper pipe together the same way you can glue, you know, PVC. But, which is fine for plumbing, but for making antennas, I don't think the glue is conductive. For an antenna, that's going to be less good.
A stupid capacitor where it's insulated, you don't really want that.
Of two sections that are capacitively coupled together, which is, you know, not ideal.
Yeah, I... And, you know, I used 60-40 solder for years, and the lead never killed me yet.
You can still buy it in small quantities for hobbyist use. You know, I can still go, I don't know where I got it the last time. The Radio Shack going out of business sale, I think. But you can still buy it for hobbyist use. You just can't buy it for fabrication use. If I were, like, wave soldering, like, 100 PC boards, I couldn't use it for that. But for little onesies and twosies, a 60-40 spool of solder I can still get.
I think they really need to get rid of that crappy silver solder garbage that you're using, because it's really causing all kinds of troubles in computers and circuit boards fail all over the country. They need to fix that and probably be done with it.
Stuff, I think we tried using it on the Collins, remember? Or the Viking. The stuff that I got from the auto parts store, which I think is pretty much entirely tin, and it's got a tiny bit of copper. You know, there's no lead. So somehow it just doesn't want to flow.
The stupid solder, you know, the copper, the good radio flux, it still didn't flow with a darn.
Because of, well, I don't know. You had the 100-watt soldering gun, and I don't know why that would be.
The soldering guns have an issue if you move them, they don't heat up right, because the transformers come loose and it melts the solder inside.
That was it. Oh, so the transformer, there is a transformer in those things. Oh, so you're saying that loosens up as you're moving the soldering iron around? Yeah, there's no excuse for that. That's just poor manufacturing.
Fixing a stupid thing, it doesn't fix. I got mad, threw out the window.
I'm wondering what else we could have, Radio Shack, again, like 40 years ago, had this other product I think I mentioned. 60-40 solder cut into little strips. strips maybe, you know, a quarter inch wide, maybe an inch long, and you wrap it round, for soldering wires together, wrap it round the wires and heat it briefly with a torch, and makes a perfect solder joint pretty much every time. But I haven't seen that in Radio Shack's catalog in 20 years.
You know, that anymore, it's ridiculous. You can't get parts.
Say something about that's the issue with a lot of the automotive, you know, the automotive computers and electronics. You know, like this car is probably the worst example. I still have problems. Just a couple of days ago, I had the problem once again where, you know, you basically have no dashboard. There's no dashboard indicators, there's no speedometers, there's no fuel gauge, there's no nothing. It's just a black piece of plastic.
They got so many computers and you don't know which one to beat up. They call it, they got wiring harness issues. It's a nightmare.
Again, that is cold solder joints or solder that, you know, just doesn't flow right. And, you know, a little lead would go a long way.
And you never know when it's going to do it. You could take six circuits and sit for years, put power through them, you never know when they're going to do it.
That long ago, I had to spend $1,600-something to have one of the other computer modules replaced. You know, the one that keeps occasionally failing, it's called, I think it's the dashboard control module, and it's all your dashboards, all your dashboard indicators, and I think it's also the backup camera and the cruise control, and I think it's one other system.
A friend of mine has a problem with the heat one of those things and said, you're going to have fun fixing that.
For this age, this is a 2007 car. It's not worth fixing anything. You know, certainly not if a dealer has to fix it. If you pull something out of a junkyard and somebody knows how to put it in, that'd be the only way.
Pull a pig yard, they'll pull it out for you.
You know, it's just, it's not something I really want to mess with. This car should have been retired, you know, a year or two ago. I should have tried to get rid of it.
Drive it to a dozen, and, you know, that's, and like I said, you know, it's not like that car, it's all these modern pieces of crap.
I had the 2005 version of this car that was absolutely the best car I ever had. Extremely, extremely reliable. You know, but this one was totaled at least once and not put together entirely right. And also it had other issues. Also, it's got a lot more miles on it. It's got 193,000 miles right now. So, yeah, I got my 50 or 60,000 miles out of this car. Pass the hot potato to someone else.
Because the next thing we got is that stupid freaking California. It's a stupid problem with the darn crop with the darn the rods, you know, with the bearings and that stupid thing on the crank. That's the worst problem that one's got.
One that we thought originally was a valve noise, and yeah, it's that weird two-piece piston rod. So you're saying it's those bearings that are in the middle of that rod that's what's making that noise, because yeah, you heard it before I did. Sometimes I have to listen for it, and, oh yeah, now I hear what Alan was hearing. Yeah, you found it, but we didn't hear it at the first time we drove it, did we?
Cracking oil behind it, that was a nasty thing to do. Because we drove that car for 50 miles. Because I already told you to stay away from that thing, that 10-foot pole. I knew about it.
On what they put in. I got one more Z-Max treatment I should have dumped in last time.
5 miles Pennzoil is pretty good oil, I'll tell you what. It's a lot better than you. I'm sure you use a lot less oil when you use that oil, right?
Is losing about a quarter of oil every 2,000 to 3,000 miles. By the time it's ready for another oil change, it would have lost more than a quart. So, your piston rings are going.
That's not that bad, but if you, I'll tell you what, if you put conventional cheap castor oil on that thing will drink it like a fish.
Usually the Pep Boys, and they put in good oil. They put in Pennzoil, high mileage oil. And if I have replacement oil, that's what I'll buy. I should have tried to put in some earlier today. I'm afraid to go to places like, you know, the place in Malden that says, like, 10-minute oil change, because I'm not sure what they're going to put.
Yeah, I've saw our Pep Boys. At least you know they're going to put good oil in it. Yeah, I don't play with guys. I've seen those guys put Corby Quakers there with sludge, and I pulled engines apart the day they've done oil changes, and God.
You would know more than me. I don't I don't have experience pulling apart engines.
I tell you what, the reason that noise with those rods, the last time I heard that was in a motorcycle engine many years ago. The last time I heard that knock was 1974 on a Honda motorcycle, a 350.
Right, the motorcycle engines, a lot of them do the same thing. They've, it's called an Atkinson cycle. They got that short compression stroke and they got a longer power stroke. You know, so it sacrifices power for fuel economy.
They do it for high RPM reasons because they have to have bearings there instead of rod bearings. They got to use needle bearings, so they can't. They got to use needle bearings there because their RPMs are so high.
That was a common design for a motorcycle engine. Because you can see why, if you imagine it spinning, why you need that two-piece piston rod. Because the cycle, the stroke has to shorten up on one side and lengthen on the other. So you got that weird two-piece piston rod with, you know, yeah, I guess that weird kind of sleeve bearing or whatever you said it was.
They're needle bearings, what they are.
I didn't know that was a common design for a motorcycle engine. You know what I get, you know, again, we're going to get on this again. Why did you not see a lot more Wankel engines in motorcycles? You know, more power, less weight, lower vibration. For a motorbike, I think that's what you want. Norton BSA made one. I don't know if anyone else did.
If you've ever ridden on the four-cylinders and six-cylinders, the new four-cylinders, four-strokes are fantastic. I mean, and the six-cylinders, they've got a 2,600cc straight six. And that thing is just, I mean, that thing's so smooth, it's incredible.
Big engine. As I said, I always like the, we've had this discussion innumerable times. I always like the Wankel engine for three things. You know, more power, smaller size, and of course, you know, less vibration. I don't see why it basically hasn't taken over the universe for motorbike engines, outboard motor engines, you know, generator and power tool engines. But I guess it's just the tooling and stuff to work on the thing that doesn't really, it's not out there.
The last time they made those seals was many years ago. I think nowadays we probably could do something with that design. I wouldn't be surprised, but everyone's chicken to try it. But I think nowadays the technology is a lot better than when they first did it. So I don't see why, if it was me, I'd like to take a whole one and get some of my nephew to actually redesign the Apex seals and actually make them with new design and see what happens.
That's before too, KD2BNG. If I had a couple of million dollars to invest in a startup company in the automotive field, I would start a company, Wankel Engineering. You know, the only USA certified company that rebuilds the damn things and builds new ones. And also, tell us the make, model, year, engine, and transmission of any existing car, and we'll design a motor mount to fit a Wankel engine.
It could be fixed. I'd like to try it. And I don't think it really would cost, maybe you have to get some of the manufacturer to replace the seals, because there's still a lot of them out there. You probably could, if you were careful, again, but, you know, it'd be worth trying it, see what happens.
Manufactured, though. I mean, not so much for automotive use. I don't know what they're out there. The Wankel engine is still in production for something, then. Maybe one of the other things. Tools, generators, pumps, I don't know what. But it's not as though they've gone totally obsolete, or you can't get any parts at all. Maybe for automotive ones you can't, I don't know.
Like I said, you know, back when I worked on a tech school, I had a few of them fail. And the only problem was the darn apex seals. Other than that, they were all too reliable.
Enough of the tools and dies and other specialized stuff you would need to work on them. So it just didn't get past a certain point. Also, maybe a lot of engine rebuilders didn't plan to them.
Down into a hole. Yeah, no, but that's true. You know, they're hard to get parts for now. You know, years ago, you know, down the road, maybe. Well, like I said, you know, I diagnosed a few probably apex seals in tech school, and what was weird is that the compression test wouldn't show it lots of times. You'd have to actually figure it out another way.
The test, yeah, I don't know what the compression test would show. But yeah, I mean, it's too bad that they're not, as I said, that's, if I had a couple of $1 million to blow on a startup company, I'd do that. You know, Wankel Engineering. And the thing is, we'd have, you know, our hook to take the marketplace is, tell us what make, model of car, what engine and transmission is in it now, and we'll design a bracket for one of our Wankel engines. So basically, it's pull out the old engine, put in the new one. All the bolts go back exactly where they were before.
You know, I worked on some stupid LS engines. I don't want to brag about. You know what? I think they're crap.
I got to, I don't even know where I was going. I was going to go to Clinton, to the Clinton property, and retrieve the camera footage. I don't even know if I have time to do that now.
Didn't we got far away for it?
All I have, might be all I have time for. Maybe I'll just do the camera that's watching the front of the place, and the other cameras I don't care so much about. For the past couple of weeks, 2 months or so, nothing's been happening. So whoever was coming around to do strange things, they probably realized there's cameras.
Try to get this darn place straight up enough so you get people in there that are reliable so you can get that rolling. And you can't do it. It's just a question of getting someone to do it. That's, but I don't even know what time it is.
25. I seem to have, oh, you know what it is? I pulled into the parking lot in the, that other parking lot for a good 20 minutes talking to you, because that was the only place I had radio reception.
So, this is, I wish they'd fix this. Well, they're also going to put lower, another antenna lower than this one and go pair with a new controller, so they're going to put a lower antenna down lower from the, and pair and phase them, which is, that's going to help a lot, too, getting the lower antenna lower, too, so that'll straighten a lot of the coverage area out as well.
I've really been on the radio much at all lately, anyhow. I just, it's, you know, I'm probably in a worse depression than I was before.
Going through it very easy myself. I gotta get down and get some medical supplies, and this leg is irritating me because I've almost had it heal 3 times. Now, because it was too tight, I gotta go back for another 5 weeks of fighting with the stupid thing. I got from Canada, I got $3,500 to $4,000 worth of bills for them to screw my leg up.
And by the way, your leg, better, worse, pretty much the same.
Both of them are doing pretty good, except there's little wounds, which I've only got two superficial ones, but they're real small. I mean, you know how bad they were before, but it hurts so bad. The pain is just so bad sometimes. There's not much I can do about it.
Now that is, I've been in pain a lot too recently. I don't know what for. I mean, depression can sometimes cause pain. But, you know, my joints, my neck, my back, you know, I don't know what it is. I even have very rarely now I even want to take, like, you know, half a Vicodin. But, you know, I don't like doing that.
That's not, it's just, well, you know, that's why sometimes I'll take, you know, sometimes I'll take a fifth of freaking alcohol just so I can sleep.
Well, you're not, you don't think you're an opiate. Well, no, what it is with you is you've used too many opiates and other things in the past, so they no longer work.
No, I can't touch it. I can't touch none of it.
I would just rather not. See, I don't think I've ever had an addiction problem. I'd rather not deal with the stuff. Well, let me put it this way. I had 24 methadones, 10 milligram methadones that let's just say I got from somewhere. And a year later, I still had like 18 of them. So, and I would only ever take half of one. So I'm an addict? No, I don't think so.
It's so bad. I got birth control and all kinds of other garbage. And I got a little bit of stupid stuff that I'm going to do.
Last night I was hurt for whatever reason, so I'm like, okay, take half of Vicodin. But, you know, then again, I slept okay, but now I'm kind of out of it.
When I get so sick, I found out the other thing was the stupid anxiety drugs, all that stuff causes suicidal tendencies, which I definitely didn't need to deal with that. So I threw it all up there. All the crap, and the anxiety meds and all that. I was hurting for the cholesterol meds, all that garbage. I just threw it in the toilet.
Suicidal tendencies I got now. How much worse is it going to get?
He is the one that told me about it, Dr. King, so I said, I'll stop that right away. As soon as I stop it, I'm fine.
Taking this medicine if you have suicidal tendencies. Although, if I didn't have suicidal tendencies, I might not need the medicine.
It's just science fiction. Well, you remember all the science fiction and lived for all that stuff I was on. You remember what I went through with that crap.
Oh, all right. Let me, where are we at? Where's the driveway? Let me pull in here and, I don't even know if I have enough batteries with me. Let me at least change the memory card from the front camera. And I don't have a lot of time left. But let me, I'll call you on the phone later.
Yeah, you can do that later. I'll just give you a call later. Get your car, get back to your house. You're out of trouble with this stupid other problem. But like I said, you know, just go to the stupid. I gotta do the same thing, man. I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you later on. Just get that shit done. Nope, it's not done. I mean, oops. Think I broke the. Oops.
So I'm just gonna grab the memory cards and try to change the batteries in the front camera, and maybe try to see if anything happens inside the house. And that's all I got time for. I'll give you a phone call later, though.
Yeah, KF4 and